You guys ready?
Ready.
Okay.
Ready, Freddy?
Listen to this. Is it just me, or did this play suddenly get a lot cooler?
Yeah!
Please tell me that's your new intro.
Yes, it is. Oh, man. I don't know if I'm going to use it every week, but I think I will be using it every week for a while, because, wow, hey.
I feel so cool
here. I'm so pumped to talk about horrible people. This is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam. Joining me today is the lovely Becky. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am super pumped. I feel super cool.
Yeah.
I was doing air guitar.
And Josh, how you doing?
I'm awake now.
Awake, yes, indeed. So that's a new version of our theme song from the incredibly talented Phil Whitfield, who sent it to me on one of those eras where I'm like, during a time when I was like actively avoiding social media and to be honest, kind of avoiding humanity in general and hiding in a room with a lot of canned beans and jars of urine.
Please don't ever say that again.
And he sent this to me, and I completely didn't see it until recently, and I haven't said anything to him about it, and I'm hoping he hears this, and I hope he's not offended that I didn't get back to him. I feel kind of stupid about that. But you know how I am.
Well, I think that this was an awesome debut and a way to say thank you, Phil.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. Shall we get into the news, or shall we talk about... Becky went to the store and brought back a thing and another thing and a couple things.
I had fun collecting items for you this week, Sam.
Yeah. Let's play a little game here. So Becky brought me back two Chick Tracts. Which ones were they?
Soul Survivor and something about All Fly Away.
I think
it's All Fly Away, yeah.
All right, cool.
Soul Survivor has the amazing scientist that looks like an evil person going, heh, heh, heh. And
yeah.
The All Fly Away has the evil atheist parents who beat their child for singing gospel music. It's special.
Because that's a thing.
The things you find on the ground at the farmer's market.
Yeah, you also bought me the 700-page pseudo-signed annotated Billy Graham biography that looks totally like it's a Bible.
Oh, God, it's got like gold, you know, on all of the page ends and everything.
Yeah.
It's got the little satin bookmark and everything. It's awesome. He totally fancies himself the Word of God because he makes his autobiography look like a Bible.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, you were talking about getting back into writing. So here I brought you How to Write a Christian Novel, a book by somebody I'd never heard of. So,
yeah, but then you said you already own all of the Left Behind series.
Yeah,
so you're like, that's the only volume you need in order to know how to write a successful Christian novel.
Right, yeah, you have to be interminably stupid and not understand plots. Becky brings me all this this
Oh, Gospel
stuff.
According to Twilight as well. Don't forget that.
Oh, I thought that was for you.
No, that one was a true, fine, close reading exegesis of the first Twilight book and comparing it to all parts of the gospel and what it means and all the role models and non-role models and how they can be likened to other people and characters in the Bible and teaching lessons. And I mean, it's nutty.
I find that hilarious since that's pretty much Mormon slash fiction.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so seeing it from a bent of a Christian and as opposed to strictly Mormon, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. And then for herself, she gets Where the Sidewalk Ends. And I'm like, I don't know if you actually like me or not. I mean,
it was for me. My own copy is sitting somewhere in my parents' garage somewhere, and I figured I needed one of my own.
Fair enough. Ah, yes. Books for the now approaching legendary propaganda collection, from the way people talk to me about it now.
Well, just look around us, Sam. Immersed in it.
It is a thing that I do. Speaking of propaganda, a Texas court has dropped the last charge against two people who made deceiving anti-abortion videos that went viral last year. David Daladan and Sandra Merritt were accused of tampering with government records when they used false IDs to enter and film Planned Parenthood meetings. The videos, which were deceptively edited to suggest that Planned Parenthood sold fetal tissue for profit, led to investigations in numerous states against the Women's Health Organization, though no wrongdoing was ever found. Judge Brock Thomas dropped the charge against the two at the request of the prosecutor's office.
This is disappointing for all of us, I think. I mean, when a prosecutor says, hey, judge, can you drop the charges? That's, you know, we just don't have enough to be able to get a positive conviction here, which is disappointing.
Well, I can see that. I can see why prosecutors might do that, but they did sort of film themselves.
It definitely reeks of ideological motivation behind the ruling.
Behind
the dropping of the charges.
Yeah, I don't think this one was dropped for lack of evidence. That's my read on this.
Is this, do we think, well, you know, Planned Parenthood wasn't found guilty of any wrongdoing, so no harm, no foul kind
or
of thing?
Or we all know that Planned Parenthood totally sells fetal tissue for profit, so we shouldn't...
Not. Psych.
No, this might actually be the thinking involved. We are talking about Texas here, Becky.
We are.
So, you know, they shouldn't be charged with breaking the law because... You know, they're just proving something that we all know is true, yada, yada, yada.
Do you think this is kind of ideological and legal maneuvering, legal retaliatory maneuvering in the wake of the, Supreme Court of the United States striking down Texas's anti-abortion laws, saying, well, we're not going to prosecute the anti-abortionists? Is that sort of in the milieu? Is it in the zeitgeist of Texas abortion politics right now? Or is that going too far? Am I Glenn Becking over here with my chalkboards?
Yeah.
Should I pull back in that tear out of my left eye?
Definitely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely put the Visine away, hon. I think that may be a bit too far, saying that this is a retaliatory, but... Is it too far to say that this might have been dropped on an ideological basis?
Well, Josh, you brought that up. Do you think it's too far to say this is ideological dropping of charges?
At most, I would say that the most you can really say is that ideological is a stretch. I mean, you don't know for sure. Unless they actually come out there and actually say, yeah, no, we think that abortion is a bad thing, so therefore we're going to drop this.
On the other hand, fake IDs is not like... a huge crime.
We're not in RICO territory.
And it's California. Driver's licenses in Texas, they probably don't care that much,
right? So it may be that this just really isn't a particularly huge crime. And while, given the enormous effect their fake video caused in the current election cycle in the early days, I kind of wish more could be done.
Well, yes, there was no violent crime being committed here. There was maybe some fraudulent use of IDs, but at the same time, the fallout, as you said, was huge. Early on in the election cycle, you had Carly Fiorina in debates screaming about baby parts, which weren't even in these videos at all.
Right.
I mean, it caused, you know, countless governors of states to investigate Planned Parenthood to try and see what was going on. It, arguably inspired the Colorado shooter, you know, that caused that massacre.
Yeah.
Because you have, in sort of the cultural awareness, this suggested wrongdoing by a organization who, by all accounts, has saved many lives, who has improved many lives. It's disappointing for me to see the final charges be dropped against these two yahoos who caused so much fallout from this.
Who were indirectly inspired somebody to go out and kill a bunch of people. You know, I'm not going to say they should go to jail for that, but
no, clearly the Colorado shooter should be responsible for his killings and his massacre.
The thing that bothers me the most about this is that isn't that they're not they're not being held responsible for it, because they shouldn't be. They're not the ones who committed the crime. But the problem is that consistently people who make false claims like this, and then people who are motivated to kill people based on these false claims, these people aren't bothered by that in any meaningful way. They all see it as, they all see it in this weird sort of reverse, you know, bizarro world language that they're actually saving lives, which is odd.
Odd? I wouldn't use odd as that. I would say tragic. I would say infuriating. And we know that it's motivated by a religious bent, a religious ideology that has no scientific basis.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
And the lack of any kind of repercussions just guarantees that this is going to continue to happen. And we're going to pretty soon have the James O'Keefe School of Journalism.
Quite possibly. I mean, but lying about what Planned Parenthood does is practically an industry these days. And they didn't start it, and they're certainly not going to end it. So, I don't know. However, there's good news, too. The NBA has announced that they will move the location of the 2017 All-Star Game from Charlotte, North Carolina, in response to the passing of the anti-LGBT bathroom bill. The league released a statement announcing the change of venue for the week-long event, saying that while they recognize that they can't choose the laws in the cities they do business, they don't believe they can successfully host the event in the climate created by HB2. Governor Pat McCrory criticized the move, claiming that selective corporate elite are imposing their political will on communities in which they do business, thus bypassing the democratic and legal process. One politician said that the move will cost the city of Charlotte $100 million in lost revenue.
Wait. Governor Pat McCrory is criticizing the corporate elite?
Yeah.
That the selective corporate... Is he anti-corporation now? We could go...
Sounds definitely anti-open market to me.
Yeah.
This is market pressure saying, no, we as our private corporation business don't want to do business here. Is now Governor Pat McCrory doing a 180 on that? Are we wanting to break up large corporations to make them not elite but humble? I mean, this could get interesting here.
Only when it fits his needs.
Yeah,
obviously.
I mean, come on. We've seen this guy's tactics in getting HB2 on the books. The minute businesses start backing him, he'll change his tune immediately.
Is it the corporate elite who want to restrict their bathroom rules that he defends, but the corporate elite that pull out of the big events going to their
right.
State that he decries?
Right. If you like them, they're corporate elite. If you don't like them, they're the corporate elite trying to, you know, stop the democratic process by not going to a place. If you like them, they're hardworking Americans who, you know,
they're the job builders and job creators.
Yeah, they're the job creators, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
How does this bypass the legal process?
Yeah, I didn't realize that the NBA not showing up for an All-Star game somehow changed laws in North Carolina. That's pretty amazing. I need to pay more attention to basketball.
Wait, if I don't go to a basketball game, I'm going to be issued a citation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big basketball fan. Does this mean I'm subject to arrest? I mean, how does this work out?
This is like mandatory voting in Brazil. You get some kind of fine. This is mandatory. You will play the basketball game in my state.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this not kind of what you were told this was going to happen? The NBA said, you know, if you do this, we're going to have to really see if we can do an event in your town. They said this might happen. You have businesses that have pulled out, you know, large contracts, some major offices that were going to be built in Charlotte aren't being built there now because the companies said they can't do business in this town because of these stupid laws.
It just seems so sad for him that not every corporation is Chick-fil-A or Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You know, it's not unprecedented for sports organizations to be at the forefront of pushing movements. It really isn't. You have, right now going on, you have the WNBA that in their warm-up practice jerseys is, you know, wearing Black Lives Matter, and they got successfully a citation or you know, punishment basically lifted from them. You had Mizzou the football team saying, hey, unless we address, you know, race climate on our campus, we're not going to play.
Yeah.
A majority of black players on their football team. You have the state of Arizona finally accepting Martin Luther King Jr. Day because the NFL said, no, we're not going to we're not gonna play there unless you get on board with the rest of the country in recognizing that civil rights movements in our country are an important part of our history, mm-hmm. and actually talk about our people and our Americans and our citizens and our residents. I mean, it's not unprecedented. I don't know why he thinks that this is somehow ridiculous corporate elite going against the democratic process. This is the people speaking.
Yeah. Well, this is specific people speaking. I'm not going to perform in a town that is discriminatory. That's kind of what this is saying. Or discriminatory in a specific way, or legally discriminatory. I mean, I think that's, you're absolutely right. And good on the NBA for doing this. And now what you were saying, Josh, I'm now imagining, like, the future Charlotte, North Carolina looks a lot like Demolition Man, where all restaurants are Chick-fil-A.
Oh, God, no.
Well, you will only eat chicken and you will only do crafting. Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A, as far as the eye can see.
It's a lot of chicken and a lot of macrame. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Is macrame something people do?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go into the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Puerto Rico, actually. There's a lot of good news coming out of there.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of free thinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I want to bring it back, but it's
more than basic. If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview, informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is, it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEX Radio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That commercial reminded me, we actually have a news story that's relevant to Ask an Atheist from, probably always the worst week in America, or couple weeks in American politics, and that's the national conventions during a presidential run, which are always just strange and weird.
Hilarious, fun,
painful.
Yeah. The phrase I generally use is not one I want to use on the air, but I guess I will call it a sewer storm. And you can kind of figure out where I'm going with there. At a proposed billboard for the DVD release of the film God's Not Dead 2 was rejected just days before the Republican National Convention. Pure Flix, the film's distributor, wanted to put up a banner on the side of a building in Cleveland during the convention with the slogan, "I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God." The distributor was informed by the billboard company Orange Barrel Media that the sign was too political and way too incendiary.
This is funny because there are people that are decrying that they were discriminated against for, well, the distributor is saying that they were discriminated against for not being able to put up their sign when an atheist organization was able to put up a billboard, right?
We had,
what was it from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Josh?
It was a quote by Ronald Reagan, the Jesus of Republicanism. "We established no religion in this country. Church and state are and must remain separate."
So you think we're just quoting one of your, you know, heroes back to, you know, Reagan Republicans and whatnot. And people are saying the atheist organization got to troll us with their Republican billboard and we didn't get to put up a Jesus loving. The thing is that it's a completely different media organization. You have Orange Barrel Media for the God's Not Dead sign that said, no, we're not. No, this is incendiary. This is not something we do for advertising. And who put up the Reagan quote? That was
Clear Channel.
Okay.
Clear Channel. So if they went with Clear Channel, probably would have been fine then.
I guess.
Yeah, I think Clear Channel would actually definitely let that fly.
Yeah, but that's
that banner fly.
That's the weird thing is I was originally going to say, I think I'm on the side of the religious people here. They should be allowed to do their dumb, stupid banner.
Well, if they went through Orange Barrel Media and said that we don't do political or incendiary signs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a history of saying that. And the contract said, you know, we don't do things that are incendiary and we don't do things that are political.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, all right. The thing is that I might be a little bit with you, Sam, because we have a history within the atheist community of companies denying to put up signs that merely say atheists.
Yeah.
Period. Because it's too political.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm in favor of the banner. I thought the whole point was that you were going to be judged by God anyway. I thought that was the point.
That you're not judged by Orange Barrel Media?
No, well, that's the according to the news article here, it says that the thing was going to say, "I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the world rather than stand with the world and be judged by God." And isn't you're a Christian, isn't your deal that you're judged by God no matter what?
I mean,
isn't that the whole point? Is that you gotta play by a very specific set of rules or you get judged poorly? And the whole idea is that judgment comes and you're judged well? I mean, this seems like I'd rather be judged by everybody is what this is saying.
I think this is I'd rather sell DVD copies of my bad movie starring
then,
Melissa Joan Hart.
And that brings me to the name PureFlix. Every time I see that, I think, oh, they totally make porn. Every time I see the name of their company, I go, "That's if I were in the pornography business, that's probably what I'd name my film company."
Well, it's PureFlix, F-L-I-X. There's only one X. For it to be the porn, you know, subsidiary, it would have to have two more X's on the end of it.
Oh, Becky, that's so 90s. I mean, we can be a little bit more...
a bit more subtle? Is 2016 more subtle than that?
No.
Maybe not?
Okay. No.
I'm thinking more along the lines, it'd be more Skinamax-related material.
Yeah.
So nothing hardcore, just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Total after midnight kind of Cinemax type. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I still think it sounds like that. Every time I see that, and that's what I think. And this is weird. They're saying it's too incendiary when, at the same time, the Republican Party included heavily religious ideals in its official platform released before the National Convention. The 60-page document calls for a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage, demands legislators use religion as a guide when making laws, urges the Bible to be used in public schools, and even promotes gay conversion therapy. The panel that developed the platform included Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council and other religious conservatives.
this actually sounds a lot like Franklin Graham's rally when he was calling for, you know, Christians to fill the school boards, for the Bible to be back in schools, use your, you know, Christian religion and the Bible in making laws, proposing laws. So, it's still alive and well, I guess, despite the front runner ostensibly not really proposing to use, you know, religion and his ideas and lawmaking.
I find it amazing that he's able to pull so much religious fervor for him when he himself is obviously not religious. Like, I mean, the religious right is pulling for him right now because, honestly, they don't have anybody else.
But, well, yeah, he's their guy. Yeah.
He's their guy, but he's not. He doesn't share their values. I mean,
no. No, that's that becomes kind of clear. I mean, how many times have I made that what's my favorite book of the Bible joke on this show? What was it? Corinthians 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, there you go.
That's the joke? Yes. Okay, moving on. No. But it's the Republican platform. Does anybody actually read that? I know party platforms are supposed to be important to the political process, and they're supposed to define what your party is. But it seems like in 21st century America, what they do is they let complete yahoos write their platform, at least in the GOP. I mean, they have completely different yahoos writing the platform on the Democratic side. And then everybody freaking ignores it for the next 4 years. That's what it feels like.
I would not say that that's completely the case. We did see in I believe 2012, the Republican Party platform included basically a slam against teaching higher order thinking skills in public school curriculum.
Oh, I remember that. Wow.
And it was used to decry Common Core. I mean, it was so these things do get used, do get pulled up, do get dredged up and used. And Josh, you actually had an observation. You watched both conventions or parts of both conventions.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Yeah, no, I watched the entire RNC convention. That was fun. Totally painful. Don't recommend it for anybody.
Yeah.
Had to say plenty of Hail Marys afterwards. But yeah, it's the entire Republican convention was essentially God-driven all the way through the platform.
Oh, well, I'm not saying they're not going to flog the religious banner, because that's kind of that's what the GOP does. But is anybody actually... I mean, okay, so in the platform 4 years ago, or a couple years ago, or whenever it was, they basically said critical thinking is bad. Was that actually pursued in any meaningful way?
It was used as a talking point to decry Common Core. It was. I mean, as a teacher...
By who?
By Republicans, by state-level governors, things like that. And it was part of the discourse and conversation saying that the Obama administration and the large corporations were making this Common Core thing. And it just sort of entered into the discourse and the air of this anti-intellectual, anti-education rhetoric that ended up floating around. I would say that those two things are related.
All right.
Now, Josh, you actually brought up that in 2012, the Democratic convention was not scot-free in this case in terms of you know, pushing religion, right?
Yeah, in 2012, the platform they didn't even include anything about God or religion or anything like that in the platform.
Right.
But then they had to go back and actually force feed it to everybody after a false vote to actually put it in the platform.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a roll call vote or a voice vote, right?
Right.
That was a lot of boos, but they accepted it anyway and said the voice vote passed?
Yeah, it was like all the say yay, and then all of a sudden it's just like, it has passed. It was just ham-fisted in as much as they could.
Voice votes in the National Convention always seem like, I don't care what you think. This is what we're doing. Yay. And
in 2012, there was not enough God in the DNC.
No. We like to say that, you know, there's a general consensus among most atheists tend to be closer to the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. And so that there's this general consensus among atheists that I think is false, is that Democrats are, the Democratic Party is comfortable with us. They're not. they are very much not. I mean, every event I've gone, you know, when I caucused for Bernie this year, which is what I did, you know, the Democratic Party is like, well, we want to make sure we have a all-encompassing, a representative group of people who are going to go on to the state convention. And they said, well, we would like minorities, we'd like women, you know,
LGBT folks, people of different ages,
and
people of different
abilities. Nowhere was the idea of different faiths or lack of faith. It was no in Tacoma. Being a Democrat seems like a very Christian affair, even though there's a lot of Democrats who aren't,
with the exception of Sonic's guy leading the Pledge of Allegiance, mumbling the under God and people laughing.
That was
cheering.
Yeah, that was at the precinct convention. Sonic's guy, who's a local
known
landmark. I don't know. I mean, he's kind of ever present and always dresses up in Sonic's gear, and he's a good guy. Chris Brannon, and he led the Pledge of Allegiance at our district caucus, and yeah, and so blah blah blah, you know, Pledge of Allegiance, blah, 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 one nation, indivisible, and the room cheered, and I was like, wow, that's novel. I think we've done this on the air before. I think we might.
We have.
It's worth revisiting. It totally is.
You know, you did mention the Yahoos that are, you know, injecting things into party platforms. We did have in several states, you know, atheists saying, hey, at our local party platform, trying to push it onto the state platform, saying, why don't we have a recognition of faithless people, of secular Americans, or a commitment to a secular party platform? And that did get introduced and did garner some support at various state conventions. And so
it got support. I don't think it passed anywhere.
Yeah, and I don't think it made it up to the big DNC in Philly. So
of course not.
Maybe, you know, future year.
Yeah. So any other observations about the sewer storm this year?
Yeah. So Michelle Obama actually had two good speeches at both conventions.
She's the only FLOTUS to speak at both party conventions?
Oh. Well, she got writing credits for the first one.
Uh-huh.
FLOTUS? Really?
First Lady of the United States.
That doesn't sound right. That sounds like a progressive ripoff.
Yeah, I don't... That sounds creepy.
Okay. My apologies, Ms. Obama.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've never been a big fan of the First Lady. It seems like... Oh, that seems kind of...
Seems a little dismissive. She's kind of way more badass than that.
Yeah, and there's been several who have been. So Michelle Obama spoke at both conventions, or had at least had words at both conventions. Anything else? Not really?
Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't come prepared.
Oh, no. I wouldn't watch that.
He's trying to keep it buried beneath the... it's a little too traumatic to resurrect it, right?
Yeah, fair enough. So I guess my go is why are you... you know, why was the billboard bad at the Republican convention, where they're basically saying all of this stuff inside that building?
Well, it's a private organization. I mean,
yeah, I suppose
they don't. I mean, they don't have anything to do with the Republican platform, so
right.
They have to still go by their policies of what is inflammatory. So
I get that conversion therapy is a fight that's ongoing. That no, this is actually a really bad thing. But hasn't the marriage equality ship kind of sailed at this point? Do they really think an amendment's going to go anywhere?
Well, I hope not. I hope it won't go anywhere. But,
yeah.
I mean, I guess they're really just not giving up on fights that they think... I mean, there's not really much more to fight about besides abortion, gay people being able to get married, and what bathroom you want to... You know, what toilet you want to sit on.
Even if it doesn't go anywhere, it gives them something to push forward.
Yeah.
It gives it. That's what puts their butts in the seats.
Okay. So they're just doing it as a crowd attraction then, basically.
Absolutely.
Got it. So shall we go to from states to not states?
Yes.
And talk about Puerto Rico?
To free associated states.
Yes. Let us speak of Progress Island, USA. A federal court ruled that a Puerto Rican police government discriminated against an atheist officer when he was demoted for refusing to pray. Officer Alvin Marrero Mendez was berated, stripped of his gun, and given menial tasks such as washing cars after asking to be excluded excluded from a group prayer led by his supervisor. Though the department claimed they had qualified immunity, which protects government officials from lawsuits in cases where the legal precedent is unclear, the court ruled that the department's actions violated the First Amendment. The court decision stated, if these actions do not establish religious coercion, we would be hard-pressed to find what would.
That's such a beautiful statement. Can we just, Sam, can you just read it again?
We just need to apply it to the rest of the states, and then we'd be, the actual real states.
If these actions do not establish religious coercion, we would be hard-pressed to find what would.
You know, we've been losing state to state. The Appignani Legal Foundation of the American Humanist Association, American Atheists, Freedom from Religion Foundation, been losing state to state to try and remove the requirement or even the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance that includes under God.
Right.
And you say, look, if this statement could be applied to that, if these actions do not establish religious coercion, we would be hard pressed to find what would. I mean, when you say when you have in states children that are still required to say things, to say the Pledge of Allegiance, or punished for, given menial tasks out of the room for not doing it, I mean, it's like you said, Josh, if this could be applied to all the states and not just the teeny little island of Puerto Rico, that would be beautiful.
And I welcome Puerto Rico as our 51st state.
Hey, if they want it.
They want it.
They do?
They've absolutely voted it. It's our Congress that won't allow it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It is an ongoing...
Well, it would screw up the flag. Where the hell do you put 51 stars? Well, how do you do that
one? The flag could use some screwing up. I don't care. That's all right.
We get rid of Texas.
Oh. Sold.
Texas might have also voted that as well. It is an ongoing thing of to remain a free associated state, to become an independent nation, or to become a full state of the U.S.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing debate. And right now, with the financial trouble that Puerto Rico has been in, I don't see things changing too much in the next few years.
My impression was that the overall opinion in Puerto Rico is that they were kind of happy with things as they were. But I'll be honest, I didn't pay that much attention. But if they want to be a state... It should be a state.
You know, I think in some maybe upcoming weeks or maybe some podcast extras for our Patreon patrons, maybe we'd be able to address this with our Puerto Rican, expats who are now in the States. And we've had Joel on and Manolo, so we might be checking in future episodes.
That's
about Puerto Rico.
That's a very good idea. Yeah. There is more news.
From the tiny island?
Yes, from the tiny island. From Progress Island. The Ateistas de Puerto Rico have filed a federal lawsuit against the Department of Education of Puerto Rico over a number of explicitly Christian events held in public schools. According to the lawsuit, a number of Christian events were held in the municipality of Arecibo. I've never known how to pronounce that. Okay. And kind of an important place for those of us who like contact. The atheist group offered in writing... on a number of occasions to hold similar secular events, but were refused. The group is asking for an injunction to put a stop to all religious events in schools until the courts decide if they can have equal access. Shirley Rivera, president of the organization, said if the Department of Education will not allow students to learn about alternative philosophies like humanism, atheism, critical thinking, and scientific skepticism, then we will not allow them to bring sectarian Christian and superstitious proselytism to their public schools of our country either. It's either all or none.
Well done, Shirley Rivera.
Yeah, geez.
I like Dave's little subnote here that it strikes me that they need Satanists to step up.
I don't know if there's a satanic temple branch in the tiny island of Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Maybe they'll have to hop from Florida over, or, you know, I mean, I'm glad that we have organizations that are stepping up and filing these suits. We have Ateistas de Puerto Rico, and actually we have the Humanistas Seculares de Puerto Rico, the Secular Humanists of Puerto Rico, that I believe this past weekend did a community event where they adopted a school for school improvement of, you know, painting and gardening and beautification and things like that. So you've got in lots of places around our beautiful country, secular voices and communities stepping up and doing things.
Yeah, that's cool.
Unfortunately, the school kids are still being proselytized to, and police officers are still being penalized and retaliated against. And this is to say nothing of the common traffic stops that we've mentioned on past episodes of Ask an Atheist, where people are stopped and then coerced into prayer for the traffic stops. This is not like, hey, let's do a breathalyzer test or let's do a immigration stop. You know, this is a let's pull you over for some erroneous, frivolous means and then pray and proselytize to you. So interesting fights there, too.
Yeah. Lots of fights.
But it's really cool to see, you know, I think that American Atheists having one of their regional conferences in Puerto Rico really is something that can galvanize the communities. It gets more attention to the communities from stateside folks and can help, you know, identify amongst non-religious people in Puerto Rico, hey, there are two extant communities here for you to participate in if you want.
I have been really trying to work a century ago into this, and I just can't do it. I'm
well,
sorry.
You took that gamble. So.
I did, yeah. Oh, okay, for those of you who are not familiar, Progress Island USA is a short from Mystery Science Theater 3000 about Puerto Rico. It's made in the 70s. It's got some of the best production music, and I've been trying to hunt down the production LPs that have this song on them. I think it's called, like, Making Time or something like that. So that I can use it on the show, because it's amazing.
It's amazing, you know, drums and jazz flute.
Yeah.
And, you know, fake Caribbean kind of.
And it's also one of my favorite shorts of all time, of Mystery Science Theater, ever. Not as great as Mr. Be Natural. I would say it's like Mr. Be Natural, Progress Island USA, and then perhaps Chicken of Tomorrow, I guess. I don't know why I'm talking about MST3K. Let's bring it to a place I do know a thing about and would rather not be a state if they had a choice. The Center for Inquiry has filed a lawsuit challenging the state of Illinois' law that blocks secular celebrants from solemnizing weddings. The law, which limits the right to solemnize weddings to religious celebrants and certain government officials, is being challenged by Galen Broaddus, a secular celebrant certified by the CFI. Broaddus wrote in his blog post that despite the support of three state-level lawmakers, he was unable to get a bill passed to change the law. The CFI successfully challenged a similar law in 2014. Illinois law is very strange. I'll just put that out there. It's keep in mind I'm from the Chicago area, and it's not called the Windy City because of the weather, even though it is pretty windy there. It's actually called the Windy City because of its politicians.
Y'all, a bunch of windbags.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. The CFI successfully challenged a similar law in Indiana in 2014. You'd think that Indiana would be a little bit behind Illinois, you might think. I mean, but here we have Indiana that's already saying, no, it's okay if humanists want to, you know, perform a marriage, perform a wedding ceremony. But no, Illinois is just not keen on it.
Yeah. I went, when I got married in Illinois, I had to go to a justice of the peace. I had actually had to get a state official to do the wedding, because otherwise the only people you could find were religious officiants. And I think Illinois is one of the states that is not very keen on that church out of California that everybody...
The Universal Life Church?
Yeah, I'm even ordained by them so that I could do weddings, which is kind of the main point of them. Because for a long time, that was true everywhere. You had to be a religious official in order to perform a wedding or some sort of government official. It's still kind of true, but the ULC has been kind of a get out for a lot of people. But
some people don't even want to say, you know what, I'm going to buy my $25 certification from Universal Life Church. They want to be able to say, I am solemnizing this union between people who love each other in the humanist tradition.
Right. And so the laws have slowly, you know, the laws have been kind of changing to allow organizations like CFI, and I think AHA does it as well, to allow them to create officiants who can go out and do these ceremonies. We've talked about it a lot on the show, I think.
Yeah, a few weeks ago we had David Williamson from Florida talking about the Humanist Institute, which is an offshoot and an affiliate of the American Humanist Association that that trains secular celebrants. The Center for Inquiry also does the same thing. So you have two organizations that are longstanding, you know, well-regarded institutions that do this. And, you know, you shouldn't have to say, all right, I'm a fake minister in order to be able to perform a wedding. I believe Oregon also still has this law that says, you know, you can't solemnize a wedding as a secular celebrant. We see places like Scotland and other places in the United Kingdom that welcome humanist celebrants, and suddenly those kinds of weddings are you know, off the charts more popular because people want to be able to be married in a thing that doesn't dictate to them.
I would like to see some opinion data about things this is both for marriage equality and for humanist celebrants, about opinions and before and after the laws change, because I've always suspected that, you know, people because icky or not religious or whatever, they kind of dislike it, but then they start seeing the fact that, you know, when you get married and people are allowed to get married and get married in a way that they like, the economic advantages of that might outweigh your moral issues.
Slightly off topic, I would say, like, a prime example of this would be Washington State with the legalization of marijuana. Family members would be abhorrent of any marijuana use prior to it becoming legalized. But now it's legal, nobody cares.
Right.
And that's essentially, I mean, that's what we're looking at. Once the law changed, you stop caring. It's like...
Yeah. And
well, you see the sky didn't fall. You see either economic or well-being increases.
And other places are talking about legalizing it as well. They all go, it'll destroy the very fabric of our society. And it's like, yeah, because I'm totally living beyond Thunderdome out here. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I'm going to go into the break, and then we're going to talk more Pokemon. I love what's coming out. I just love Pokemon for its ability to attract weird religious stuff. Even if I don't play it.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children. That's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn.
And we want to ask you an important question. Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Billy! I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it'll explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
Boom.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I've got a ton of people to thank. I'd like to thank Richard from Hawthorne, California, and David from the internet for meeting Peggy's Challenge. Peggy's Challenge is the challenge is a challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help us keep the lights on and help us keep producing episodes of this show. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv, click the yellow button on the right-hand side, take you directly to our PayPal page. Every dollar you give us goes directly to the show. I also have a bunch of people to thank. Jonathan from the TDTF podcast, which you may have just, the commercial you may have just heard. The Secular Yakking podcast, Jeff from the internet, Jan from the internet, Scott from Madison, Mike from Mountain View, Alabama, Mike from Seattle, Donovan from Mobile, Alabama, Robert from Phoenix, Arizona, Coogan's Heathen Hoff from Mesa, Arizona, Chris from Dallas, Texas, Melek from Switzerland, Vegar from Norway, Paul from Norway, Kaleo from Tacoma, Lawrence from the Philippines, Eva from Baltimore, Stephen from Chicago, and Mike from Radio versus the Martians, Podcast de la Vista, and some other podcasts you may have heard, for all being my patrons. Yes, my patrons, yes. You can go to our website, and just above the Peggy's Challenge button, you will find the my Patreon. And I say it's for me and not just the show, because it helps me do this show, but it also helps me with a bunch of other related projects that I would like to do, a little bit more journalism. I'd like to go out in the field and actually do some interviews, things like that. And we're already above the $100 mark.
Which means next month we will be starting with our podcast extras.
Yeah, so that means we start doing extra stuff. And I am still looking for suggested topics. I would actually like the topics for what our extras do. Because I'd kind of like to keep atheism-related stuff on the show. Because I do kind of see the podcast as not just a form of entertainment, but I it's kind of here to help people in some ways. And so this would be an opportunity for us to talk about other stuff that you might want to hear us talk about. So you can go to, if you're a patron, you can suggest some topics, and I am now asking you to do so. That's all of our patrons at this point, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Are we going to be mentioning all of them every episode?
I think new patrons, top of the month, will be mentioned. And we do thank all of our continuing patrons.
Yes. So, Pokemon.
Pokemadness.
The Saudi government released a statement denying that they renewed a fatwa against Pokemon in response to the release of Pokemon Go. The statement said that no religious fatwa came from the Council for Senior Scholars regarding the smartphone game. The original fatwa, which was issued in 2001, declared that the game promoted anti-Islamic ideas such as evolution and polytheism. The game has not yet been officially released in Saudi Arabia, but a number of people have managed to get it anyway.
So our original decrying of this thing still stands. We have to clarify that this is nothing new. I think that it's just in the Pokemon craze. People are looking and searching for Pokemon. And it was reported by a fair number of folks that the Saudi government was going all sci-yi-yi over this. That's what Psyduck says.
Oh, okay.
When he gets frustrated.
I was like, are you being kind of insulting in a way I don't understand?
No.
Oh, Pokemon reference. Got it.
Psyduck gets frustrated and goes, zai, zai, zai. So, yeah. So people were really hoping that the Saudi government had gotten very frustrated over Pokemon Go. But no, 15 years ago was when they all, zai, 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 over Pokemon, the card game and the cartoon and whatnot, because it promotes evolution.
Yeah, I said this in the last segment. I love stuff like Pokemon. I think the reason I love this so much is once upon a time I was a D&D player. Don't have much time for it these days, but I do still appreciate the game. And I loved all the stuff that religious people would say about it, about how it causes horrible demons and whatnot. And they started saying the same thing about Pokemon, and I love this stuff, and I'm hoping I can say just a little bit of weirdness about Pokemon every week. That would be a very neat thing for me.
I love the idea that the fact that they think that the evolution is such a big deal with Pokemon, when the evolution of Pokemon has nothing to do with reality.
I remember going to, like, a long time ago, this may have been in the 90s, going to a Christian evangelical Pokemon club's website where where they actually had a section about why they're okay with Pokemon evolving and how that because it's not actual evolution, because evolution isn't real, but it's okay when it happens in Pokemon. And it was just this, like, these huge circumlocutions around getting around this idea that they're comfortable with playing Pokemon when Pokemon supposedly evolve.
But they don't even evolve. We all know that evolution is change over time in populations of organisms. And with Pokemon, they metamorphize.
And I was really surprised to go, well, that's not actually evolution, what they do in Pokemon. And I'm like, true. Well done. But all this other stuff about creationism is less good.
Well, in terms of the fatwa number 21,000 something and something and something that was issued in 2001, it was against polytheism because it was suggested possibly that some of the Pokemon were suggestive of deities of polytheistic religions. Or possibly that there were things that were based on the Shinto religion in Pokemon.
Okay.
But as our writer Dave had brought up at some point, the creator of Pokemon actually had used Pokemon to say, this is actually, incorporating all of these little elements as a way to stick it to his religious upbringing, to his Christian religious upbringing. So he's going to troll the folks by saying, I'm going to call this evolution and I'm going to possibly incorporate Shinto references as a way to say, no, this is a fun game and it's silly, as silly as your religion.
So I got some emails. Would you like to do some emails?
I would.
Did you edit these, Becky? Because the heading on this one is, Becky was right!
No, Dave actually gave me that little hat tip.
Okay, yeah. Becky was correct when she said Ohio... Or this is Todd from Columbus, who writes, Becky was correct when she said that Ohio is a destination for theme parks. There are two major theme parks, Cedar Point and Kings Island, both of which are a destination for roller coaster enthusiasts. The two parks feature at least four roller coasters that routinely appear on top 10 lists, and 10 that appear on the top 50. There are also several other minor theme parks. Sadly, there isn't much else to do here. It's a bit like a Fool's Company novel around here. Is that reference nerdy enough?
I had to look up Fool's Company.
That is possibly the nerdiest reference we've ever done on this show. And that is a mark of distinction, Todd from Columbus. Congratulations.
I would actually like to give Columbus a shout out and Ohio in general, because it is the location of both the Secular Student Alliance and Camp Quest headquarters.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. That's a fun thing to do and be involved with. But yeah, theme parks. This actually comes from last week I was talking about the Ark Park. And if it had possibly been located in Ohio, then it could have been on the sort of pilgrimage to the theme park enthusiasts.
Yeah. Can I let you guys in on a little secret?
What's that, Sam?
Part of the reason I bag on places sometimes is so that I get to learn about them from listeners.
Yeah, there's nothing that's going to get you a response faster than knocking down some of these.
I have learned so much about places around the world by talking about them on this show. It's actually amazing. I can't imagine. I can't wait to hear what I'm going to get in response to my clear ignorance about Puerto Rico. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, seriously. And this is yet another example of that. I like Ohio. This is not a thing I knew about it. That's pretty cool. I'm not really. I think I might actually still be afraid of roller coasters. I haven't had an opportunity to test that in some time.
Yeah, you and I have never really been the roller coaster fans in our decade of knowing each other.
Yeah, I'm not really a theme park guy, to be honest with you. I'm standing in lines, not really a deal for me.
You know, I was really thinking that in the Ark Park, he should have a roller coaster there at the Ark Encounter, but it really should be like a log flume, right?
Yeah.
You get drenched in things, and, at the very end, you come peacefully to a stop, and a little dove rests on the front of your
And there's bodies all over the...
Well, okay,
wow.
Maybe that.
Okay.
Josh is going the full-on horror theme park.
All right.
It's a horror story. What can I say? I mean, there is nothing about that story that's actually not horrendous.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Next email. This is Dean from Paris Actual. who writes, the show 2 weeks ago was a real emotional roller coaster for me as a long-term podcast listener. I remember episode one of the TV show. My apologies. I literally cried out no when I heard you were not going to be on the actual radio because I know how much Sam loves radio. But when I heard the reasons in the fourth segment, I was just so happy for you guys. I love the show, and I'm about as fond of you guys as it's possible to be of people you don't know in meat space. For whatever it's worth, you have a fan, a cheerleader, and supporter in me, and now a patron shortly. Thank you very much, Dean. And emotional roller coaster, I think is an apt description of what it's been being on the radio. I actually posted on my Facebook page the other day that, you know what, okay, I'm having the same production problems. I'm still rushing to get the show going and posted and done before post show. It's like everything is basically the same. It just feels like something's missing. It doesn't feel, you know, I feel like there's an ingredient here that I needed that isn't really there anymore.
But we did hear from our listener, we still are being broadcast on our Part 15.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is KDX Radio, yes?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's not missing.
Your dream continues.
Yeah, yeah. I really like... Part 15 Radio is a lot of fun. it's micro broadcasting, and there's like two ways to do it. It's basically setting up... a very small radio transmitter within the FCC limits that can, you're sort of broadcasting just your house, or if you do it right, your neighborhood. If you're very good, your neighborhood. And the power we're talking here is minuscule. If you're doing it on FM, they do it through a field strength rating, which is literally if you can hear it more than a block away, you're breaking the law. But on AM, they allow 100 milliwatts, which... with a very small antenna and an incredibly lossy antenna, but it's totally doable. And it's once we get the house, it's something I may do, I think. Kind of my thing. But yeah, I mean, it is, it has been an emotional roller coaster, but I still think it was the right thing to do. And I don't think we're going to be off. I don't know that we're going back to commercial radio, but I don't think we're going to be off radio for too long. I wouldn't be surprised if we were back on the air this time next year. So one more email. This is Eric from California, who says, why do you even waste your time writing things like this? This is in reference to the Billy Graham article?
Yes.
Okay. Use your time to bolster your fellow atheists. Just like Christians build each other up, atheists should do the same. You're grounded in your belief, leave others alone. When people ask me what I believe, I tell them. I don't change their mind or heart or whatever they're clinging to, so I move on. I don't slander them. Once you're entrenched in what you believe, there's no point in going any further. Bye.
Okay. Thanks, Eric.
Yeah. Okay, so this is an article that Mike wrote 5 years ago. That's on our when we used to actually write a blog. That's, I think, Billy Graham, America's favorite bigot, because he kind of is, or was, or is. No, he is still alive.
Still is.
We checked.
He lives on in all of us, Sam.
Oh, please.
And now that you have that book,
yeah,
all 714 pages of it.
That's going to be pretty interminable, I think, in the reading.
Well, Eric's point is kind of self-refuting, too, though.
How's that?
Because he's saying that you shouldn't say anything about anybody else's beliefs, but then he's sitting there saying something against our beliefs. I mean, we're actually espousing things that we actually positively or negatively believe. And
well,
and he's saying, hush up.
And he's saying, yeah,
yeah,
exactly. He's disparaging, which is fine, but understand what you're doing.
Right. And I assume for some reason the Billy Graham post is a magnet. This comment came in yesterday, right?
Something like that.
And I actually asked somebody, how did you find out about this? Why do people keep posting on this? You know, there's other posts on the website that I just kind of pulled because I got tired of the constant sewer party that was happening on the
sewer storm or sewer party.
Whatever.
At this point.
But this one, I mean, it makes a good point, I think, in that Billy Graham, everybody thinks he was kind of inoffensive, but there is some offense to be had there, and it needs to be pointed out to people who think This is one of those, you know, this is Mike wrote it, and one of his important points when he was doing the show was that a lot of this religious stuff that seems harmless really isn't. And Billy Graham is a great example of that.
I think also in terms of your point of bolstering your fellow atheists, I think that we do that. And by saying, hey, you know what, someone, you can do that in both in two ways. You can say, hey, it's really awesome that the secular humanists and the atheists of Puerto Rico are, you know, a vibrant, you know, growing community. But you can also say things like, you know what, we feel your outrage as well when harmful things are stated by religious people, when harmful things are done by religious people or in the name of religion. We feel your outrage as well. And that is something that says, you know what, we don't stand for this either. That's a way to both bolster our fellow atheists, but also bolster and support humans who are being wronged by things. So, you know, I don't think that that is a time waster, as you said. Why waste your time? Why waste your time writing things calling out harmful people? Why waste our time talking into microphones calling out,
yeah,
you know,
why
harmful
fly
people?
To the moon?
So I'm kind of with you, Josh. Eric, you're saying, you know, once you're entrenched in what you believe, there's no point in going any further. Okay, all right, that's fine. Why are you going further with us then by calling us out?
I'm pretty sure this guy's unfamiliar with what we do on the show. I think that's part of the problem here.
Article just probably landed in his Google feed and then just replied back.
Yeah. And, you know, you got your 5 minutes of anger, and you got that out of your system, and you move on. So I'd like to wrap up with one more news story, because I think this is going to cause some small amount of debate in this room. Canadian prosecutors are appealing the incredibly light sentences handed down to a couple who allowed their toddler to die instead of getting medical attention. David and Colette Stephen were found guilty of failing to provide the necessities of life when they treated their son's bacterial meningitis with home remedies including hot peppers, garlic, onions, carrots, and horseradish. David was sentenced to 4 months in prison and his wife to 3 months of house arrest. The state argues that sentences are unfit because they aren't proportionate to the gravity of the offense or to the degree of responsibility of the offender.
I would also like to say they tried to treat him with maple syrup as well.
Yeah.
This is a really tough one, because you have state by state in you know, the U.S. Cases. I think Oregon strengthened their child harm laws about 4 years ago in response to cases much like this, where children were allowed to get very sick and in some cases die. Idaho has very loose restrictions, and we have cases of religious individuals routinely letting their children die from things that are treatable. In this case, you have meningitis, which is a treatable but terribly, terribly dangerous infection.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's something that's terrible. It's deadly, but it is treatable.
Yeah.
It's not treatable with horseradish. It's not treatable with maple syrup. So
I'm of two minds here, and let me explain, and then I'll let you guys tell me why I'm horrible. They should be punished for it. I mean, that's kind of what the criminal justice system is about. But this isn't a situation where, I mean, this isn't like the FLDS guys who marry off their kids at -3. This isn't a situation where, what I'm saying in this case, the fact that they killed their child kind of constitutes its own punishment in a way. And I think that might be why they got the light sentencing they did. And before I would go after heavy sentencing, I would say, have you learned your lesson? Do you require further rehabilitation? Are you going to do this if you ever have a kid again? One, consider not. Two, are you going to continue to be a yutz and kill your kid by treating a terrible bacterial infection with stuff you put on pancakes?
Even if the child didn't die, this is still a jailable offense. They should have absolutely. I mean, this is neglect all the way through. So
yeah.
I don't understand where the debate's at then.
They killed their kid. I can't imagine this was a good thing for them.
No, it's not. And I'm pretty sure everybody here is in agreement with that. They are negligent and they don't show sympathy. They actually have doubled down on their belief system.
Okay. Yeah, that would change it for me.
The mother
that does change it for me.
Going 3 months of house arrest and shows no remorse. The father is the one that actually seems to be making all the decisions in this, and he'll do the same thing again once he gets out of prison. This will not stop them having.
Then by the thing that I did not know. I was under a different impression, and in that case, then yeah, definitely they need to understand that killing their children is not okay.
Yeah, four months is such it's such a slap on the wrist.
Yeah,
that this does nothing to negate.
When you use a salad to treat a bacterial infection,
fruit salad,
you have killed your child. It is not the infection that killed your child. You did it. And there needs to be some understanding of that. And if there isn't, then I guess harsher penalties are what is required here.
I think this is the extreme example of saying, you know, well, what harm can it do if I, rub ammonia on my poison ivy, or if I use natural holistic remedies for things? If I, it's one thing to say I want to make a beauty mask out of egg yolks and oatmeal. It's another one if you say I'm going to reject medicine when my child is in obvious distress.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the extreme example of what can be the harm of truly having sincerely held beliefs that harm people that are helpless, that cannot make these decisions for themselves.
But hypothetically, if somebody went to the point of killing their child and with a salad, and they said, "I'm an idiot, and I'm never going to do this again," should they? Is an incredibly harsh penalty what is called for here? Something in me says no, and I'm not actually quite certain why.
I think that you're right on this end. We've had stories of folks in Australia where the anti-vaccination movement is alive and well, much like in the U.S. and in Canada. And we've had parents that said, I made a terrible mistake. My child suffered terribly and now have become vaccine proponents because of the terrible illness and harm that was come to that came to their child.
Yeah.
Now, in those cases, I think, Sam, it would be your and my opinion to say, no, if this child, if harm was brought to this child, but the parent says, I made a terrible mistake, I am terribly remorseful about this, will jailing the parent do anything in that case? No, they have suffered the tragedy.
Right, but if they are going to continue murdering their kids with a salad, then something needs to be done.
But also there's something to be said about it. This disincentivizes other people from. We're not talking just about the parents at this point. We're talking about society as a whole. We want to disincentivize certain ideas and certain actions,
mm-hmm.
and harsh penalties are thought to do so. Although,
is them killing their kid not enough of a disincentive? I mean, does the crime itself not provide, in this case, it's not like they're walking away with a bunch of money here.
I would say that that's not enough.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they lost their kid. Even if they show remorse for that, I'm sorry, there's no going back. Your dead is dead. I mean,
right.
There's no right. afterlife. It's not like now he's happy-go-lucky because he died before the age of reason.
Right. Like I said, I'm of two minds here. Is this kind of behavior needs to be stopped, because this isn't, as you say, Becky, this is not just some crazy fad. This is a crazy fad with a death toll, and that's important. But another part of me that says killing your kid kind of is its own punishment in many ways, and for these people, apparently it isn't. That's
these people, and in Idaho, there's notorious cemeteries full of dead kids.
Right.
And it's not a descent of enough for them just to lost the child. Mm-hmm. They keep continuing doing it, doing this. So,
yeah, if they're continuing to do it, that changes the scenario significantly.
It's the danger of privileging sincerely held beliefs, and when it interferes with the life, liberty, and happiness of a minor child.
Cripes! I'm ending the show on dead kids. Who made that decision?
That would be you, Sam.
Yeah, geez.
Congratulations, sir.
I don't want to end the show on dead kids, but I don't really.
We got one more email we could do. We got Asif from Karachi.
That's going to be a long answer. I'm saving that one.
All right. Stay tuned for that one.
Yeah. Can we go back to the NBA? I like that story. That's a good story. Go hooray basketball, which is not something I thought I'd say. I really, I'm ending the show on dead kids. I cannot believe I'm doing this.
Well, you can end the show on a victory in the war on taking a dump.
Yeah, that's true. I think we'll do it there. All right. Thank you guys very much. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv, Twitter us at askanatheistwa. We're on Facebook. We're on a bunch of other stuff. Maybe Morse code. You can email us at questions at askanatheist.tv, voicemail at 844-753-7842.
Thank you, Chris Coleman and Phil Whitfield, for your amazing musical creativity.
Yes, indeed. Just kind of listen to it. See you guys next week.